So what's your favorite?
How did you go?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, first descriptor, second descriptor, and man on a deadline, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. TikTok, TikTok, Soren, let's go.
Hey, everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I'm going to change the energy a little bit here because I find it's always important to have a good dynamic.
I think
juxtaposition of fast, 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 and just the really cool guy, too.
I think if we just... So, I know you can listen to an hour-long podcast at, like, a sped-up speed, and you get all the information. Could we, do you think, speak the podcast super fast, so only record it for, like, 25 minutes, and then somehow it is an hour for everybody else? That's my energy.
No one has thought of that yet.
I don't think they have. I don't think, I think, you know what I think it is? I think it's because, that would be unpleasant for us as speakers.
I think it would be bad.
Yeah.
I think not only for us, I think it would be very unpleasant and torturous. But then I think also the content of the podcast, not to say that like we're providing something great here,
no.
that our services are good already. But I think that the quality of the podcast would suffer because my brain just doesn't work that fast. Thanks to Nutrafol for supporting Quick Question. Nutrafol is physician formulated to be 100% drug-free. They use natural, medical-grade botanicals in consistently effective dosages. You can grow thicker, healthier hair, and hey, support our show by going to Nutrafol.com/men and entering promo code QQ to save $15 off your first month subscription. Thanks to Shopify for supporting Quick Question. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big business. For a free 14-day trial and full access to Shopify's entire suite of features, go to shopify.com/QQ.
Thanks to our new sponsor, Factor. Factor delivers delicious, fresh, never frozen meals that are ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. Head to go.factor75.com/QQ130 and use code QQ130 to get $130 off across 6 boxes.
Thanks to Avast for supporting Quick Question. With Avast One, you can confidently take control of your online world by helping you stay safe from viruses, phishing attacks, ransomware, hacking attempts, and other cyber crimes. Learn more about Avast One at avast.com.
Do you know, have you heard about these people who listen to podcasts at a faster speed?
Yeah, I think they're psychopaths.
Have you... ever met someone who does that with television shows?
Wait, I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah, a person that I know watches like a pretty the show Manifest. Let's just call a thing what it is. The show Manifest, which is not a great show, doesn't really need you to pay too much attention, and she just really wants to get through all of it. So she is watching it at like a sped up speed on wherever it is you do that. Netflix, I guess.
What? Okay, so I've definitely encountered shows on like social media channels that if you just like go into like the video feed, like it'll just give you a random assortment. I guess not random. There's an algorithm to it, but it's like, hey, here's part of a movie and I bet you're gonna like it. But then the part of the movie is sped up enough that everyone's voices are just a little too high.
Yeah.
And it's unlistenable. Like it's, I can't do it. I can't hang.
I feel like if someone was watching anything I'd ever made sped up, even if it's not me talking in it, because I know I talk fast, but like a rom.com or an After Hours or some sketch that we did at Cracked and someone was watching it, I was like, yeah, I just wanted, I saw you had this 12-minute Trump satire video, but I only had 5 minutes, so I just watched it at like 10 times the speed and I got through it. It's good stuff. I think that would depress me so much as the maker of that thing. That was like,
well,
but that's not why, that's not how you're supposed to.
When I used to test DVDs, there was one that we would test called the Math Man, I think. Yeah, Math Man. And it was, he would just like, it was just a dude at a chalkboard, no cuts. And he'd be like, all right, today we're doing integers. And he'd just like take you through it. And it was designed as an accompaniment to a math class. But we still had to test the DVDs to make sure they worked. And that also meant watching it. And the only joy that I got out of these videos was that occasionally I would slow it down. Mm-hmm. And he sounds just like a drunk person talking about math. It's like, if you can find the exact right points to slow down when you take those clips out of context, you just call everybody into the room and be like, come here, he's talking about coyotes. And he's like, sounds just like a person who's not quite awake. Like, it's wonderful.
Yeah. I mentioned I'm on a deadline, Soren. It's top of my mind. I think we've talked about deadlines before and how much of our lives get cast to the side. I actually was trying to buck that trend this time because I'm watching a ton of footage to get this outline done, because there's always a lot of footage that you have to watch in my job when you're outlining. Yeah. And I've been multitasking as best I can with cleaning my kitchen and like prepping dinner for later. So that'll be a quicker task while I'm watching these videos. And I was moving at such a good pace and getting so much done. I still have so much to do, but I was getting a whole lot done. But one of the things that I let slip this time that's fallen through the cracks is my sanity. I found that right before podcast, when I went into the bathroom, I had to go to the bathroom, and I looked and I saw my bathroom sink was not cleaned. I was out loud angry. Oh, come on! Couldn't you just be clean? I'm angry at the inanimate objects in my life that are not helping me out as much as I'd like them to.
You got in a fight with your, not even a kitchen sink.
No.
Somehow it's worse that it's a bathroom sink.
Because it's just like some toothpaste from this morning that's in there. But I was so like, I really felt like everything this morning, my stove, my broom, my brain, my computer, we were all working together. And then this fucking sink that never does shit for me. It's just like, you missed a spot.
It's frustrating when your appliances and your pieces of your house don't pull their weight.
I know.
I know that feeling with like, when there are, I mean, obviously a sink has no sense of job in my mind. But no. My actual appliances that do have like a real job, when they fail at that job, I'm genuinely angry at them. Like, like, are you fucking kidding me? We're all doing it here. Like, everybody's doing their thing. You do yours.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. Make the ice.
Don't you see how hard I'm working? Just. You, I'm not even mad at you. You should be mad at yourself. You should.
Of course.
You should expect more for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I know that feeling. I actually get madder. So when I was a little boy, I heard my dad outside with the weed whacker, mm-hmm. and he was like trying to get it to start. And it was a pull start weed whacker. So you had to like do a mix of gas and oil in it. And then it just wasn't starting. And then I heard him go, "Now work this time, God damn it, or I'll tear you apart," like threatening it.
Yeah.
and as a kid, I thought that's silly. And really, I've grown into that in my adulthood, where I'm like, I totally understand threatening objects or like punishing them if they're not doing it right.
Oh, yeah. I've certainly thought to punish objects. Like my dishwasher, my two least rational things that I've done with my dishwasher, which no one knows how to fix. We've had people come over to look at the dishwasher. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. It's an impossible problem to diagnose because it's an impossible problem to recreate. So I just live with it, knowing that sometimes it's going to work and sometimes it won't. And one of the irrational things I've done when I've run the entire cycle and it didn't wash anything, I've said, "We talked about this." Like, I could try to, like, don't you remember how important it is to me?
Come on. Yeah.
And the other times I've tortured it by, like, doing some of the dishes myself. Because in my fantasy, doing dishes is the dishwasher's favorite thing to do. So I'm withholding. It's like, oh, look, I'm going to do the pasta dish now. You don't get it because you haven't earned pasta dish.
It's humiliating to the dishwasher to see that its one task is now being outsourced.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I, in the same way where if I came home and Colleen had asked me to like install a shelf and I hadn't done it and I get home and she's just doing it, I would be like, oh shit! Oh, this is real bad.
She has your daughter standing on your son's shoulders, and she's putting in. It's like, oh no, oh no,
oh that's my thing. Yeah, my son has a little push buggy. Well, now it's my daughter's inherited it, but it's like one of those ones where it's just a plastic car that they sit in, and it has a big rod coming off the back, and you push them around in it. You've seen them everywhere.
Yeah.
My son at one point was playing in that one, in one of those when he was younger, and he was like pushing himself along and then jumping. He was like pushing it along and then jumping in it, and he did it, and it just high-sided and tipped it over and fell down.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over to like rescue him and get him. And then when I was like, are you okay? He pointed at it like it did it. And so I broke the steering wheel off of it. You know, like a weird moment where that didn't seem healthy. But I was like, yeah, it was this thing. Well, then let's fuck it up. Like, let's get it. Fuck it. Like, let's let it feel what it's like. And so I broke like a heel, like just like kicked down on the steering wheel and broke it off. And he was like, immediately stopped crying, because he was like, "Where? That's an option." And it was not a good teaching moment. But like,
it was like, well, Dad, let me tell you some other things that have wronged me. Things and people.
Yeah, that's where it gets dangerous, I think, is that if I'm willing to just like do that, he's like, oh, well, let's see. Yeah, let's see how far this goes. You know, that the other day, Grandma wouldn't let me have more raisins. Hey, it's me again, asking you, what's holding you back? But I want to tweak the question a little again and ask, what's holding you back from growing the best head of hair of your life? You don't have to choose between better hair growth and your health. There's a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness. So you got to get ahead of thinning hair with Nutrafol's whole body approach to hair growth. There's no drugs, but there's also no compromises. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. Physician formulated using natural medical grade ingredients, Nutrafol's drug-free patented technology provides consistent, reliable results without compromising your sexual health. Bet you didn't know that might be an issue with some of the others. Well, it is. In a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 to 6 months. Nutrafol is also trusted and recommended by more than 3,000 top doctors. So you can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show and just stay healthy by going to Nutrafol.com/men and entering promo code QQ to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com/men, spelled Nutrafol.com/men. Use promo code QQ. Cha-cha-cha-ching! What's that sound? What did I just hear? Was that the sound of money? That's a sound I love. Oh boy, does it make me smile. That's the sound of another sale on Shopify. Cha-cha-cha-ching! It's kind of like a mixture of a cash register and a bird. Shopify is the all-in-one commercial platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is more than a store. It connects you with your customers. It drives sales. It manages your day-to-day. It does all the stuff basically you don't want to be doing when you want to be focusing on your new business. You've got a lot on your plate and you want to take care of all of it, but man, it's easy for stuff to get away. Shopify is like having the best business partner out there. Shopify has thousands of integrations and third-party apps, from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. So discover your possible. Shopify unlocks the opportunities of your business to more people every day. Every 28 seconds, an entrepreneur like you makes their first sale on Shopify. So supercharge your knowledge, your sales, and your success. For a free 14-day trial, go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving you the resources once reserved for big business. Now customized for you, with a great-looking online store that brings your idea to life and tools to manage and drive your sales. Look, it takes a lot of work making your vision a reality, turning your idea into a tangible business. So making your idea real opens endless possibilities through Shopify. Believe me, this podcast, it started as a little abandoned kitten in a dumpster. It was nothing. It was just something we heard meowing when we walked past, and we picked it out and we groomed it and we took care of it. Grooming's probably the wrong word for something young. We took care of it. We brushed it, washed it. What I'm saying is that we nurtured the idea of a podcast from just a hypothetical, haha, what if, to actually being a podcast that is now listened to by over 50s of people. Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. Get started by building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience. Access powerful tools to help you find customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/QQ right now.
Should we get into the show?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Cool. I have a quick question for you.
Yes. I love these. This is my favorite set. We do these like little interstitial things. This one's my favorite game that we play.
Quick question. And this will require way too much talking. Who is, in your opinion, the most famous bass player alive right now?
It's a weird way of putting it, but probably like Don Mattingly.
Two great things about that. Wonderful, willful misinterpretation of the question. Second of all, Don Mattingly.
Yeah.
We both know, you must know that there are very famous baseball players in the news right now.
Yes.
That are setting records.
Yes. I picked someone from 1992.
But I've been thinking about this because I've realized I have absolutely no objectivity for it because I'm a bass player and I listen for bass a lot and then I want to know who plays it. And my oldest brother played bass growing up and in addition to a bunch of other instruments. And we're all just like a musical family who were interested in bands. So I don't know. The easiest one off the top of my head is Flea, who is one of the most like out front bass players in the world. And David and I were also talking about, my brother David and I were talking about, like, because what I want to know is if you polled people on the street, if you got a random sampling of Americans.
Non-bass players.
Yeah. And asked them who are the bass players that you know, what their answers would be.
I think I have to ask a qualifier here, which is, are they famous exclusively for playing bass? Because sometimes you've got a band, like Paul McCartney. Is he a bass player?
That was the thing, like, because the two other names that pop up are Paul McCartney and Sting. I don't know if people think about them as bass players. Certainly, I don't think people think of Sting as a bass player.
No.
But like, I think if I held up a picture of, here's five bass players: Flea, Victor Wooten, Sting, Paul McCartney, Joe Dart, then I think, yeah, people are going to say, oh, I recognize Paul McCartney and I recognize Sting. But if you just stopped someone and said, name the five most famous bass players, I'm so curious what the answers would be.
Yeah, I think the ruling has to be that they're famous for playing bass. Because, like, I think that occasionally it gets to be a slippery slope. Because Kevin Bacon, I know, has a band, and occasionally he will play bass in it. And, like, arguably, Kevin Bacon is the most famous bass player.
Sure.
But not for what he's doing, not for the bass. Right. The first answer that comes to my head.
Right, like, if someone showed me a picture that was like, oh, it's a rare 1965 picture of the Queen playing bass. It's like, well, sure.
Yeah. It was weird. That is weird that she played, by the way. She looks so small with a giant peavey in her hands.
Right up until the end, she played.
It's just great fingers, magic fingers on that woman. The first answer that comes to my head is Les Claypool.
Oh.
But I also don't know if that's cheating, too, because he's also the front man.
Yeah.
But the bass is such a prominent feature in Primus that I feel like it still counts.
Yeah. I think that's a good answer. But
obviously, my choice would be Victor Wooten, but that's my favorite bass player.
Right.
But I can't choose Victor. Nobody knows who the fuck Victor Wooten is.
No. It's a very wild thing to be steeped in a thing that other people aren't. I went to a John Mayer concert with a friend and she saw me get disappointed when the rest of the band lined up. And she was like, what? Like, I thought the bass player was going to be Pino Palladino and it's not. And that's a person that you can like Google what he looks like. He looks like nothing. He's very tall, but he's like a tall white guy with a narrow face and short hair. It's not someone that a normal person can like spot identify at a distance at a concert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's innocuous.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, it's I don't know that I would even be able to. Oh, I mean, I could see Victor. I've been to a Bela Fleck concert before. That's the only way I even know what Victor Wooten looks like. But if I was to just maybe like perchance run into a Victor Wooten in a Trader Joe's or something, I'm not sure that I would give him a second look.
Yeah. I felt even, that way when,
you know, Les Claypool, honestly.
Yeah. I felt that way. My brother, who is a drummer, so he has this brain for drummer stuff, telling me that he excitedly saw Liberty DeVito. I was like, who the fuck is that? He's like, that's the drummer from Billy Joel. It's like, why do you know what the drummer for Billy Joel looks like? And he's another one that you can Google and be like, yeah, that kind of looks like a guy.
Just any old guy. Those are some of my favorite. I'm pretty good at spotting faces of celebrities out in the wild. And that's actually its own skill set, right? Because they don't look the same. There's like elements that are the same, but it's like the whole package isn't there. But there are some people that I think I see all the time. And because they're so innocuous, then they're like, whatever, for whatever reason, these people got famous and they're, despite the fact they're not beautiful. And so I think I see them everywhere. Like, I'm pretty sure that six of the lead singer of fucking Soren. Oh, I'm pretty sure that six of the lead singer of LCD Sound System go to my gym. Like, okay. I've seen that guy everywhere.
Six is the name of the person who fronts that.
No,
band?
I'm saying like there's like six of him.
Oh,
like,
there's okay. I got it.
All I've right. just got six different versions of the lead singer of LCD Sound System who all go to my gym because that guy has such a milquetoast look.
Yeah.
What's his fucking name?
I feel like there's. I think I would have a hard time recognizing
James Murphy
someone at a gym because that's so separate from the context that I expect to see them in. It's sort of like being at a festival and I'm like, well, I think you might be Tegan, but stand next to Sarah so I can be sure.
Yeah, that'll
I'm not used to just content. seeing one of you.
Do you have you ever seen a famous person at your gym before? Also, an amendment to that question. Or a sub question, have you gotten recognized at your gym?
I don't. Well, let me get to the first question first, because the second question is no. Do you consider the actor Chris Lowell famous?
Let me look up Chris Lowell.
You know him.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We know him from like sketch and early crack stuff, and he's friends of Britannic, friends of ours. He's having a great career. You see him pop up everywhere. He was on Glow. He's very funny. He's very talented. He used to go to our gym, and if you think he is famous in the past, then yes, I saw a famous person at a gym. But even that was like, I approached him. He was like, hey, you're friends with Brian and Nick, and we have hung out. It's good to see you. Goodbye. Not, hey, you're on Private Practice or whatever show he was on.
Right. I'm a huge fan. Yeah, this is the guy that I owed a drink to for a very long time and refused to forget about it, and then sneakily bought him one so I could be like, aha,
yeah,
debt repaid.
Yeah, people need to know this was a matter of years. A bunch of us were out at a bar and Chris very generously got a shot for everyone, and we didn't even know about it until he was like on his way out the door. It was just like, here's a gift for all of my pals at this table, goodbye. And Soren doesn't like to be in debt to anyone.
What an awful thing to do to another human being.
And we weren't close enough to Chris that you could like Venmo him or call him up or anything like that. So you just had to wait to be in his presence again. And you waited years and kept this debt in your head.
And then I think I didn't even do it the same way. I wasn't like, hey, shots for everyone. Got you back. I just bought him a drink and brought it. And so over to him, we're like, this is for you. This is repayment for when you bought us all drinks.
Our debt
and
is paid like, now.
He was like, what? So you understand this drink is, well, technically for you, is not for you. It's for me.
Listen, you got me a shot 6 years ago, and I've been mad ever since. I can finally move on now. Don't ever do that again.
So Mike White used to go to our gym. You and I went to the same gym in Santa Monica for a long time. Mike White used to work out there. He would come and train with a friend of ours there. And at the time, I didn't, because I'm always an idiot about this shit. But at the time, I was just like, oh, yeah, that's an actor. I recognize him from stuff. Oh, what stuff you say? Oh, I don't know. Things. But I didn't recognize him as the writer of School of Rock, or, well, obviously White Lotus didn't exist then. But like, he was clearly had a really successful career.
Yeah, Orange County. And I just
didn't understand it.
Yeah.
So obsessed with internet comedy instead.
I think Bruce Springsteen used to work out at my sister-in-law's gym.
What?
And I was like, what is he like? And she was like, he works out and I work out. And we just,
how is that possible? No. I mean, imagine him. Okay. Imagine the boss doing pull-ups, or imagine the boss on a stair stepper.
I think we're all waiting for him. We've all got our cameras out to film him getting on a treadmill to fulfill the ultimate purpose of being born to run. And he's just not doing it.
That like groin exerciser, that like chestnut cracker.
Yeah.
Him on that machine.
Just doing the whatever thing, yeah. Thigh just tightener.
Pumping up those inner thighs for the jeans. Oh, any exercise. Just the hip. Oh, I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. I want to see him doing anything.
I think it's good that you didn't talk to Mike White in the gym. I think that like you shouldn't bother anyone in the gym for any reason.
I think that's also the type of person that isn't like, hey, I'm at the gym because I just want to keep this in tip-top shape.
Yeah.
That's somebody who's like, I need to make some changes in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the type of person that they're at their most vulnerable.
No.
And for you to come up to them at their most vulnerable and be like, hey, I like your stuff. Yeah. I don't think they would enjoy that.
No, that's someone who's like, it's March. I got this membership as a New Year's resolution. This is my second time I'm here. Please don't talk to me. Please don't give me a reason not to come back here.
Yeah. Back in the day of Cracked, when we were like, our faces were fresh in the minds of people who actually watched our show stuff.
Yeah, and just fresh generally. Just like, just real, real sewn up.
I would get recognized at gyms occasionally. People would just come up and they'd be like, oh, I like, you're from Cracked. Oh, I love Cracked. But as I've gotten older and further away from that, now I get people who, like this happened like 2 weeks ago where the guy was kind of like watching me in the gym. And I was like, dude, what is going on? And then he came up to me. He's like, does anyone ever tell you that you look like Soren from Cracked?
Wow.
And I was like, that's rough, because I know that I don't look enough like I used to. That he was not like, that wasn't his opener. Like, I hope it is him. It was like, man, he just looks so much like him, but he's just like haggard and a little bit worse.
Yeah. Oh, that is too bad.
Yeah, it was rough. Dan, I have a quick question for you if we're done with bases.
Wait, what are we saying? Final answer, Les Claypool?
That was mine. Yeah, do you have one that's... well, no. I think Flea is probably...
I still think Flea.
Flea, absolutely.
Yeah.
As soon as you said that, I don't know why it didn't occur to me, but Flea is, without a doubt, the most famous bassist.
Yeah. All right, good. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that. What do you think of when you think of fall? For me, it's a packed schedule, but I also think about how it gets so much darker so earlier, and it's just a trick of my brain, and maybe yours too, that when it gets darker, I feel like I have less time to do any of the things that I like to do. Luckily, Factor's Ready to Eat meal delivery kit keeps me fueled up and feeling good, and I don't have to spend almost any time prepping dinner because it heats in 2 minutes and is ready to eat. Whether you need a quick lunch or a nutritious meal that's ready in minutes, Factor makes it easy, and it's cheaper than takeout. That's a serious fall win. Factor sent us some meals, and they have a deal for you. Get $130 off across 6 boxes when you head to go.factor75.com/QQ130 and use code QQ130. Factor sent us some meals, and they were delicious. I had the artichoke and spinach chicken, and I couldn't get enough of it. I loved it so much. They prepared that meal for me. It took 2 minutes, and it looked great. You could take it and put it on a plate and take a picture of it and make it look like a meal from a restaurant or a meal that you special chef made yourself, and none would be the wiser. It doesn't look like a TV dinner. It's Factor. It looks like a meal. They put the work in so I don't have to. The registered dietitians and expert chefs work hand in hand to create meals I can feel good about eating every day. One of my favorite things about Factor is they have a lot of options for however you like to eat. I have some specific things that I can and can't eat, and they worked with me. Their dietitians put together a meal plan that made sense for me as a person who can't have dairy and can't have eggs, but loves meat. You can choose from keto, calorie smart, vegan plus veggie, and protein plus to get chef-crafted, dietitian-approved recipes you'll look forward to eating every time. Factor now offers 30-plus meals per week and 36-plus add-on options like smoothies. I loved the smoothies. They also offer juices, snacks, and more to keep me going no matter what's on the schedule. Factor equals free time. Instead of spending those precious hours after you get home hustling around the store and the kitchen, they'll deliver ready-made meals right to your door, eliminating all that meal planning, prep, and cleanup time. Head to go.factor75.com/QQ130 and use code QQ130 to get $130 off across 6 boxes. That's such a good deal. That's code QQ130 at go.factor75.com/QQ130 for $130 off.
Avast is a global leader in cyber protection for more than 30 years and trusted by over 435 million users. That's, I'm not great with numbers. I'm going to say that's two Earths. They've prevented over 1.5 billion attacks every single month. Avast empowers you with digital safety and privacy no matter where you are, who you are, or how you connect. Enjoy the opportunities that come with being connected on your terms. The internet, it's a scary place, everybody. Scary. What you need is a metaphorical shield, and that's what Avast is. Avast's new all-in-one solution, Avast One, helps you take control of your safety and privacy online through a range of features. What features, you ask? Well, Avast still includes the award-winning free AV, free VPN, free firewall, and much, much more. Avast One is the best protection yet, giving you everything you need to take control of your safety and privacy online and accessible through a single, easy-to-use interface. And Avast Premium version has even more advanced protection that allows you to protect multiple devices, so you're safe no matter how you're using the internet. Now, you might be listening to this and think, what is this crazy glossary of terms Soren is throwing at me? What is a VPN? Well, it's allowing you to connect safely and securely to a public Wi-Fi and conduct your business wherever you want without the fear of cybercrime, because it's harder for people to pinpoint your IP address. What's an IP address? I don't have time to get into it. It's just an ad. What's firewall protection? Well, it helps keep your personal information secure and it prevents attacks that seek to access your computer and steal your data, your precious data. You gotta keep it safe. You need a, I said shield earlier, but I'm gonna go with metaphorical dragon down in your cyber dungeon. So thanks to Avast for supporting Quick Question. Confidently take control of your online world with Avast One. It helps you stay safe from viruses, phishing attacks, ransomware, hacking attempts, and other cyber crimes. Learn more about Avast One at avast.com. Okay, Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Shoot.
And I will answer this first so you have time to think about it. But what is your, what was the best, most memorable movie going experience you've ever had?
Can you, you want to draw a line between best and most memorable? Which do you prefer?
I guess I want most memorable.
Got it.
I'm going to give you two examples because one I just had and it made me really appreciate seeing a movie in the right context. I went and saw Barbarian. Now, I don't go to the movies, as you know.
No.
My strategy is to wait 2.5 years.
And you understand there's like a weird omerta about this movie that you're not allowed to tell anyone about it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can say what I'm about to say without giving any spoilers away.
Okay.
I don't go to the movies because I have children, and carving out 2.5 hours where I'm off doing my own shit is such a big investment, or 2.5. I mean, that's like with driving and everything, that it's not worth it. I can watch movies at night after my children go to bed in the comfort of my own living room, but I can't go to the movies, and I miss that experience. And also COVID, you know, remember sure. COVID? But I happened to be on a work trip this past week, and I knew that my flight wasn't until late on the last day, and no one was going to be around. And I was like, I am going to go see a movie. I was in Las Vegas.
You saw a movie in another state?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. I was in Las Vegas and I was like, all right, tomorrow morning, let's find show times anywhere in Las Vegas for Barbarian. I also had heard such great things about Barbarian that I was going to find it.
So funny. Like, I got 2.5 hours to kill in Vegas and I need to be entertained. What is there to do in this fucking town?
Well, it turns out no one goes to the movies, especially a matinee. I had to go to North Vegas for this one time of Barbarian that I wanted. And as we're driving there, the driver goes, so where we're going, he's like looking at his map. He's like, so where we're going, there's not a lot around there. And so I'm going to give you my phone number so that when this is over, you can just call me and I'll come pick you up. Like, he's genuinely like worried for me. And I was like, oh fuck, where are we going? And it just gets more and more desolate. We head out into the desert of North Vegas and, you know, buildings are shut down, gas stations are closed. And it looks like maybe this might be wrong. Like, I'm just taking us somewhere, somewhere bad. And all of a sudden, we crest the horizon and there's this giant Cineplex out there that with not a single car in the parking lot. It looks like it's just shut down.
Yeah.
The blazing sun. And he's like, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until you get inside. He's just like a date, like a really gentlemanly date. Mm-hmm. And I open the door and I give him the thumbs up and he tentatively drives away. And I go in and there's one person. It's giant. It's huge. And there's one person there. And she's over by the popcorn and she has to be like, oh, walk all the way across the theater over to the where you get tickets. And there's not even like, it's like a makeshift ticket booth because the real ticket booths are on the outside. It's like one of those ones where you just come up. There's six different people waiting. You give them your money.
Yeah.
That's all closed down. She has to come into like a folding table and she's like, what do you want to see? And I'm like, well, can I still get into Barbarian? She's like, oh yeah, just it started like 2 minutes ago. And it's like $10 to get to this theater. I go in. I am the only person. Oh, first of all, I thought she was joking when she showed me a map and she said, where do you want to sit? And the theater, it was like all the seats were available. And I was like, I don't know, F3. She's like, okay. And go into this theater and it's completely empty. And the movie it starts on a black screen. The theater is completely black. And I'm like, ooh, okay. So I go and I sit down. Now, you know just from the trailer of Barbarian that it's about an Airbnb. It's about an Airbnb in a neighborhood in which there's nothing else around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much dead. And it's in Detroit. And so it's like all the houses around it are abandoned. And I walk into a theater in the middle of nowhere where it's everything seems weird and off and there are red flags all over the place. And I sit down in this theater by myself to watch a movie about a horror movie that takes place in a place where someone is completely by themselves. And it was like surreal. It was strange being in that theater. And just like, I was constantly finding myself looking around because I was like, this is a trap. There's something is wrong. Something is, a hatch is going to open in the wall. Something's going to happen. But it really made the whole experience of watching Barbarian really enjoyable.
Yeah. That's very good. That's very cool. I'm very happy for you. I'm a little preoccupied because I found myself very enthralled by everything surrounding this movie, where I only watched part of the trailer because the theme surrounding this movie is don't tell anyone anything about it. I find it so fascinating. The only reason that I wasn't even going to see the trailer. I looked at the posters that were showing up in my feed. And I was reading enough tweets from people that I pay attention to saying just like, don't see the trailer, don't read anything, go into this movie. And I only saw part of the trailer because from the official 20th Century Studios YouTube account, you will find 7 days ago a video of theirs titled Justin Long's New Movie, Official Trailer. And I thought, why would they... Is the movie called Justin Long's New Movie? And as soon as I clicked on it and realized it was Barbarian, I left it. I ran away from it because I didn't want to learn anything else. And I think it's so cool that they're being so secretive about this that even the fucking official Fox YouTube channel is on board and was like, no, let's not give anything away about anything. This is Justin Long's new movie, which I imagine is not going to be the most important part about this movie.
It's very charming. It's very charming when, not the movie is not charming. It's very charming when like everyone works together to, yeah. They keep a very magical secret.
Yeah. They were just talking about this on one of the only podcasts I listened to, the Flagrant Ones, where one of the hosts, Hayes Davenport, was saying, someone just described to me what like the thing is. Someone like,
oh.
And Nick Weiger, his guest, wouldn't do it. And I was like, yeah, hell yeah. Good. Keep him in the dark forever.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know beforehand. In fact, I know, so Joe Chandler, a friend of the show,
yeah,
has a very good friend who's associated with this film. And so like I was asking him questions about it because I was like digging around the IMDb and I was like, the names are weird. What is this? And he's like, I'm not telling you anything. I'm not telling you anything. I was like, do you know? And he's like, of course. And I was like, well, what is going on here? So yeah, I went and saw the secret movie in the middle of nowhere, and it was
excellent.
And coming out of it was it was very surreal. It was just like walking out into like the blazing sun of what should be Las Vegas, but it's not. Like it's gone. Yeah. I'm in the middle of the desert, and I don't understand the. At one point, I'm like, well, I should get some food, and I start walking over to this place called the Nugget that's like a quarter mile away,
mm-hmm.
and. As I'm walking there, all these children start walking the other direction from me. When I say children, I mean like middle school age children, like 11 years old, mm-hmm. are all walking the other direction. And I was like, where are you all? What is going on? It's like this is not a school thing. It's the middle of the day. Where the fuck is everyone? And where are they coming from? It was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
What made me think of it too was that I had another one of these experiences with people from Cracked, where one day we were at the office and out of the kindness of his heart or whatever, or he was struggling with something, Jack was like, hey, let's all go see a movie. And we're like, oh, okay. Sure. And so,
yeah, that's right. This was sort of a misguided Don Draper phase where he wanted to leave work to watch movies, but also like wanted to like... He couldn't go full Draper. He wanted to share with the various Pete Campbells around him.
And so he invited us out to the movies, and we all went and saw Cabin in the Woods, which is in itself a very surreal movie.
Yeah.
But while we were watching it, I think I could spoil Cabin in the Woods at this point, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so Cabin in the Woods, the general premise is that there's an underworking how to explain this. It's like an umbrella corporation type of company that ensures that some teens get stuck in the woods sometimes in these weird cabins and that they're murdered in horrific ways to appease some old world gods who need that kind of evil to survive. Keeps them asleep under the earth. And this girl breaks the mold because she doesn't die when she's supposed to. And the gods are mad. And so like, we don't really see the gods, but we just know that this is a bad situation. And all of a sudden, towards the end of the movie, we know that they've awakened, and this giant hand comes up and crushes the cabin. And I didn't get to see that part the first time I watched the movie, because as soon as she breaks the mold and it becomes clear that there's no going back, she like throws Jamie Lee Curtis, who's the keeper of the gods. Oh, fucking damn it. Sigourney Weaver is the keeper of the gods, or like the god whisperer, and they throw her into a pit. And so it's clear, like, well, these gods are coming for us now. And when that happened, the film goes out, goes to black. The lights come up in the theater, and a voice comes on over the speakers and says, "Everyone needs to exit the theater right now. There is a fire." And we're like, what? And so we all get up, kind of wondering, what kind of viral marketing is this? And we walk outside, and we come up this escalator. And as we're going up the escalator, there's a glass window next to us, and just plumes of gray, black smoke against the glass as we're going up this escalator.
Holy shit.
And everyone's like, should we be running? Is this okay for us to just stand on an escalator and leisurely go up it as we watch flames burn 2 feet away? And we get up, we get outside, and it's Pandemonium in the Promenade. Great band name.
Yeah.
It's nuts out there. Like, there's fire trucks. Everyone's huddled around. And this apartment complex that was part of, like, attached to the theater just caught on fire. Somebody's apartment caught on fire and burned adjacent to the theater. And so we never saw the ending. And we were like, this it feels like it's, there's too much of the movie in my real life all of a sudden that I can't tell what's real anymore.
I had the closest thing to that, like, synchronicity. This was not a movie theater experience, but I had gotten Barton Fink on Netflix DVD, the Coen Brothers movie starring John Turturro. And I was just, like, mowing through Coen Brothers movies at this point in my life, just one at a time. And I was watching this one. It's about a Broadway playwright named Barton Fink who takes a contract to go to Hollywood, California to be this, like, hotshot new screenwriter. And he's, like, this very pretentious, very annoying guy. It's a weird movie full of, as you can imagine with the Coen Brothers movie, idiosyncratic characters. And he meets his weird elevator man. He meets his weird neighbor. He meets an idol of his and his idol's secretary, Audrey Taylor. And they talk about writing, and he has a bunch of meetings with studios, and he seems like he's struggling writing this thing. At one point, he calls up Taylor, the secretary, to visit him at his hotel, and they have sex. And then I paused the movie. I was like, I think I kind of got this. And I, like, went to sleep and lived a whole other day. If you've seen the movie, you're already ahead of me at this point. I decide to pick up the movie the next day, and the scene immediately after those two having sex is he wakes up and she has been murdered in his bed. And I was like, oh shit, okay, I thought I got it. I didn't get it. There's a whole lot going on that I was not prepared for. And if you know, the whole first chunk of the movie before that is really this strange, like, Hollywood satire type thing. And the second half is just what naturally follows after a woman is murdered in these very bizarre circumstances. And John Goodman may or may not be the devil. It's a very bizarre movie. And I couldn't have planned a better time to pause it and go to sleep.
We in high school, we had a movie nights sometimes on, like, Fridays. It was a boarding school, so they just had to keep the kids occupied in all their free time. You cannot give children free time or they get into trouble.
Yeah.
They get destructive. And so they would do movie nights, and we all, like, gathered around to watch From Dusk Till Dawn. But it was at a time, it's hard to explain this to some people, I think, now, that movies just existed that everyone would eventually see, but that you knew nothing about somehow. Like, you get to even VHS and you wouldn't know anything about them. And From Dusk Till Dawn was coming out. Not coming out. Dusk Till Dawn was going to be played. And two of my friends who were experimenting for the very first time with marijuana smoked some weed, and then were, like, on campus just being like, oh, there's a movie? Let's go see the movie. And so they went into From Dusk Till Dawn, which starts off as, like, an action thriller.
Yeah.
There's a heist, and then there's a family gets involved, and then there's a lot of breasts at this bar, and, like, my friends are going, they're like, they're into it. They're like, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
It's George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino are these two thief brothers, and there's, like, witty dialogue, and everyone's very cool. It feels very home with the Quentin Tarantino type thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For some amount of time in the movie.
And then there's this turn where suddenly they're locked into this bar of vampires, and that's the rest of the movie, and that's a big chunk of the movie, but they had no idea that was going to happen. And so they're sitting there watching this movie, and you can just watch them freaking out, like, is everyone else seeing this?
Yeah.
Is this part of it? Is this part of the weed?
The other one that sticks out as memorable, and it is very different from any of these, is I was in high school and I was working at the movie theater, and you got comp tickets for movies the night before they came out, which was a very exciting thing to do. And for a while, they were giving you, like, unlimited comp tickets. So I was crazy with them and just giving them to as many of my friends as I could. And there were two misguided things surrounding this one experience. I had a high school girlfriend for got to be less than a month, and I decided I was going to take her on a date to one of these, like, midnight showings, some Thursday night midnight thing before the movie comes out to the regular public. I was going to bring her to it, but also, because I didn't really know how dates worked, I'd roll deep with 70 seven of my bros as well. So it was like my girlfriend and seven dudes. And the movie, because we don't get to pick what the movie is, it's just what's going to come, what's out the next day, was Van Wilder, which is not a good date movie, especially if you're like, you're whatever I was, a sophomore or junior dating a freshman or sophomore, just two very sweet, worthless virgins seeing this movie that has an extended scene where they, I mean, there's a running joke about how they're, the main character's dog has a giant nutsack. And then there's a scene in the movie where they jerk off the dog into a bunch of eclairs that they then feed the antagonists in the movie. And I just have to sit there with seven of my bros loving it. And then me quietly sitting next to my quiet girlfriend and just everything that goes through the head of a 16-year-old guy who's like, man, now she's going to know that I have balls. Now we all know what jerking off is. This is bad news. This was not supposed to be a second date affair.
What a leap to go from dog testicles to I'm sure she's nothing of my balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, man, it's such a rough place to be when you're with somebody brand new and like some sort of, you're like reminded of the humiliating viscera of a human body, but it's not even yours. Like, it's just like,
yeah,
somebody else in an elevator farts and you're with a girl and you're like, you both know it's not each other, but you're like, oh yeah, we both do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't want to remember that right now.
Right. And I don't want to, like, especially at that age, I don't want to be like forward sexually or anything like that because we're all so young. And so when a character in Van Wilder is getting blown, part of me is going to be like, can you believe some people are into that? What are your thoughts?
My parents had a long track record of accidentally bringing me to really inappropriate movies when I was young. And they brought me to see Leaving Las Vegas when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I told the story on the podcast before, but like, yeah, if you're familiar with Leaving Las Vegas, like that's not a movie you bring a kid to. And God, I remember this so vividly. Right after there's a rape scene in it, where then afterwards Elizabeth Shue sits in the shower and cries. And as she's sitting in the shower crying, after like all that has happened in the denouement, my mom turns to me. She's like, do you understand what just happened there? And I was like, I don't even want to be near you right now. I absolutely do not want to explain to you what just happened.
Man,
it's also, oh, it's, if I remember correctly, it's also anal rape in the movie, which is like, even somehow, I mean, a bad thing obviously in general, but a weirdly bad thing to have to then like say to your mom in a whisper so no one else in the theater hears.
Right.
Like, yeah, so they forcibly had sex with her in the butthole, like,
right.
I'm not gonna do that. And so it's just like me like just cringing in my seat next to somebody being like, I want to be a million miles away from you right now.
Yeah. Do you know what happened there? That's,
you understand what happened.
You understand what happened there. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure at the time you were mortified, but like that's a helpful head-on thing to address if she's not sure what you're getting from this. If you're just like, why is that lady crying now?
Yeah. I think why does she regret that? Looks like they're having a lot of fun.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't that. And also, you know, my mom was a sex ed teacher, so she was very much like, all sex she was very forward about.
Yeah.
But then that also included like the emotional aspects of sexuality as well, and like making sure that you're prepared for those and understanding the different ramifications of it. So yeah, she was just like, that was a moment where she was like, I want to make sure he gets what this is.
Yeah.
If he has to watch it, which I don't think she wanted me to.
No.
She was like, I want to make sure he at least knows what's going on. So yeah, that's cool, I guess, in hindsight. But at the moment, boy, I would have, I don't know, if I could have folded myself up inside the chair and just stayed in the theater forever, I would have done that.
Unless she was hoping your answer would be no, and then you could be like, me neither, let's both stay in the dark. Should we get out of here? Get pizza? What a weird movie.
That's what I mean, I'm finding myself in these negotiations with my son right now, because he's at an age where, you know, we're hanging around older kids, and older kids are interested in like the opposite sex all of a sudden. Not all of them, same sex, but just like romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. And when another parent had told me, Ronan asked, we'll say her name is Jenny. Ronan asked Jenny to be his girlfriend, and she said yes. A parent told me that, and I was like, what the fuck? No, he didn't. No,
yeah.
There's no way. And so I went and like checked in with him. And I was like, did you do this? And he goes, no. And I was like, do you know what a girlfriend is? And he goes, no. And I was like, do I now have to explain this? Like, I wasn't ready to have this conversation yet. And I don't want to have it, but now I've introduced it.
Right. Cause then we'd be like, no, I don't know what a girlfriend, what is it? Ah, it's none of your business. You brought it up. I was sitting here. Yeah, minding my own business.
It's very cool. It's a very cool thing, but you can't know yet. What? Yeah. So, but he was actually real, when I was just like, okay, well, go play. He was like, okay. And he just like let it go too. There was something in his brain also that was like, whatever this is, I'm not ready for it, I don't think.
Yeah.
Which was really nice. But yeah, Dan, I went to Las Vegas with my work. It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. It
was such a treat.
How was Topgolf?
Yes. How did you know I went to Topgolf?
Do you want me to tell you how I know you went to Topgolf?
Yeah.
I don't know if this will embarrass you or not. Your coworker took a video of your swing to send to me so we could both be mad about how good it was. For you, a person who doesn't spend too much time trying to be good at golf, but just naturally is, he just sent me a video, and we don't text a lot. He was like, look at this shit. And I was like, that son of a bitch. What an asshole.
So we got there, and like, I was like, I haven't played golf in a long time. I'm going to be rusty. And like, I went and started hitting this 3-wood, and everyone's just sort of sitting around chatting and everything. I just start crushing balls with this 3-wood. Like, I'm not even aiming for there's pins out there. Like, there's points you can score by getting close to these pins. I'm not doing that anymore. Now I'm just going to see if I can send a ball into orbit. Like, I'm just going to try and crush this thing into Utah. And it was with a 3-wood. I didn't even like get to the driver yet. It was like fighting in those movies where you see like a guy fighting with a sword. Is that the sword is still sheathed? And you're like, oh fuck, at some point that's coming out. And it's going to be even worse. I was hitting these balls with the 3-wood. I was like, somebody's got to be seeing this. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Apparently somebody did. That's great.
Yeah. People were seeing it. And I wish I still had your brother's number so I could text him too. I want this vast network of people just mad about how good you are at things.
That's good. I feel very seen.
Good.
Thanks.
We did Topgolf.
It was good. Topgolf was very fun. And then, yeah, we went out to great restaurants. I gambled a bunch, and I love gambling, it turns out. And then we went to a club, and I hated that and realized that that's not my scene anymore at all. I don't know that – it never was my scene. It reminded me that I was never good at this.
No.
That I remember going to clubs when I was younger thinking this is what humans do, and this is important.
I think even when I was younger, I said those same words, but was very resigned about it. I was like, this is something everyone's got to do, I guess. This is, you know, I have to go to clubs because what if I have to do it for work at some point? Yeah. I better learn how to like oysters because that's what they do at lunch meetings in movies from the past. Just like I got to just like put my head down and do this thing knowing that, you know, it's going to clubs is broccoli.
Yeah, you're trying to like convince yourself it's fun. I never enjoyed it. I was always so deeply uncomfortable in a club.
Did the rest of your cohort, were people happy there? No judgment if they like shitty things, but were they happy?
Some of them were, and some of them, I mean, it's not like they didn't take to it like a fish to water. They didn't just like jump in and then like we didn't see them again because they were off raving with other people. Everybody got there. We were all feeling a little strange, but then some of them really adapted nicely and also just felt very comfortable in their own skin. Like we all had a table and they would just get up and dance every once in a while. Nice. And I was like, what? How are you doing that? Just not understanding. Just being so self-aware in this area where I don't know anybody. Everybody there looks like, yeah, this is just what we do. This is the fun thing.
Yeah.
And me being like, somebody sit down and explain to me how it's fun.
Right.
Somebody tell me, because I'm not getting it.
You guys understand, we don't have to dance anymore, right? We're past all that.
Also, this is not even fun to dance to. This is just like a heartbeat that we're listening to. Deep, deep heartbeat. It's not good. What are we getting out of this, everybody? But yeah, that part I didn't enjoy, but I just didn't understand it. Also, it just felt like there was all kinds of fun stuff beyond that, that if I just left the club, I could, I don't know, go see a movie.
Yeah. It's very serendipitous timing. I also had a fun weekend. I had a house guest, and she and I went golfing. She, just at the driving range, she golfs twice a year, maybe, and she just fucking wiped the floor with me at the driving range and was very patient, but was also made it very clear to me later, as I was struggling to parallel park, that she also watched me be bad at golf. It was like, she didn't say a word about it until I was like, I'm really self-conscious parallel parking with someone in the car. This always drives me nuts. And she was like, you shouldn't be self-conscious about that. I've already seen you golf. Like, fuck.
Holy shit. What? Incinerating.
This is devastating. And then I think it was like hours later that your coworker sent me a video of you golfing. And I was like, okay, I'm selling the clubs. I got it. I don't, it's not for me.
But I had I've got a long history of working on golf courses.
That's true.
That's like who I was for a little while. I was golf guy for a little while.
That's right.
Not in a capacity where I was like training or teaching anyone. I was doing the shit work. I was like mowing approaches and riding around and cleaning carts and stuff. But
yeah,
I still like you pick up a
which
bunch
doesn't
of stuff there.
Make you a better player.
No,
I mean it does make most people a better player.
But you pick up so much from that. And you get to just play it with, it's slow and you're near a hole. You can sometimes be like, all right, well, there's a ball right here. Let's just go hit some.
Yeah.
And you figure it out along the way. So I had like back work that had been done. This was like practiced work that then I was just reaccessing.
That's true. And young enough that lessons,
they stick.
Found a purchase more easily. Yeah.
Yes, I don't feel bad about that. While we were sitting there, one of my coworkers who didn't know very well, I haven't really seen her in person more than twice. I was talking to her a little bit, and I was like, "Does your family golf?" And she was like, "No, not at all." And I was like, "What are their sports? Like, what are your sports growing up?" She's like, "We don't really have sports." And I was like, "I don't understand that." And then the conversation stopped. But then she came back to me later. She's like, "You know what? I thought about it. We did do. There was a sport that we all played, and that we played a lot, and it was tennis." And I was like, this moment washed over me where I realized I've never played a game of tennis in my entire life, a true game of tennis. I think I fucked around on a court once, but I've never played like a full game. I don't even totally understand how to keep score.
I think we certainly played in high school, but that's like there's maybe four courts and you're in a gym class, so you're playing. You're not playing a full game. You're certainly not playing however many matches there are supposed to be in like, I also haven't played tennis to completion, but I've played and lost. I think like enough points had changed hands that I had lost.
Yeah. I guess I would assume it's like ping pong, but bigger. That can't be right.
No, it's close enough, but you've never even like,
I've swung a racket.
I believe that, but you've never like been with a friend who's like, "Oh, let's just play tennis for
never in my life."
Okay.
No, nobody stood on the other side. I mean, no one stood on the other side, and we were like, "We're going to play a structured game."
Yeah,
I've been with other friends where like we happened upon tennis rackets or whatever, and we're like, "Let's just hit it to each other."
Yeah,
or
certainly
that kind
I've
of
done
thing.
That but, on like vacation.
But no, no understanding of the game at all, and it was as soon as she said that, I was like, damn, I thought I played everything. I thought I knew every sport there was and that I had at least dabbled in them. But even like lacrosse, like things like...
Yeah. Lacrosse, which they don't have everywhere.
I don't think they do.
I don't. I don't think they had lacrosse.
Or highlight. I've played highlight.
Yeah. You're not supposed to.
Crazy weird game. I've never played lacrosse and field hockey I've played, but like, yeah. And so, I'm sorry, I've never played tennis. And so it was so startling when she said that. I was like, that's such a, it's like a vanilla sport. It's totally standard. It's like, yeah. Never done it.
Well, there's still time, buddy.
Well, I guess so. What if my son likes tennis? Ugh.
Then you'll probably be naturally good at it and you'll teach him. I don't know. Couple years from now, when your son is sending me videos of you doing a perfect spike, and he's like, "Look at this asshole."
When you and my son are sitting at Wimbledon together,
yeah,
invited you. He got really good fast. All right, well, we can be done with this show now.
Yeah, the show is quick question, but most of you knew that already. We are recorded, edited, and produced by the irreplaceable Gabe Harder. Our theme song is by the incredible Mirex. Their digital album is available at mirex.bandcamp.com. You can find the show on Twitter at QQ underscore Soren and Dan, or me at DLB underscore INC, or Soren at Soren underscore LTD. Email the show QQ with Soren and Daniel at Gmail. We also have a Patreon. You can donate to us if you'd like to. I am also running a race, the same race that I did last Shocktober. I'm going to try to beat my time by a minute, and I'm raising money to fight cancer. So you can donate to me. You can find links to that in my Twitter. That's all the things I have to say.
I've got nothing, except I enjoyed talking to you.
I had a great time talking to you, buddy.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
I've got a quick question for you, all right? I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, all right? The answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time, yeah. I think you'll have a great time, yeah.